Welcome. Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we're going to look at manifestation. How do we get things in life? And what do we want to get? Let's talk about getting satisfaction. How about fulfillment, abundance, and a life well lived? And to do that, I have the author of a wonderful new book, and it's called The Greatest Secret of All. And the author is Mark Allen. Mark, welcome to the show.
Peter, thanks for having me on.
I'm so glad you could join us. And not only are you the author of this book, but you actually are the author of the publishing company, too, the founder of New World Library, and so many great books that you publish all the time.
And no one would publish my first few books, so I started my own company.
You had to manifest.
And yeah, right, exactly. And I just self-published, you know, in a little tiny way, and it just grew. The company just grew.
Well, you were the right guy at the right time for the right job.
Right, exactly.
And that's a lot about, I think, what this is about, too, is because I, you know, we talk about this is the greatest secret of all, and there was a book and a movie that came out some years ago called The Secret, and it ended up disappointing a lot of people. I taught some classes about it where I was mostly bursting bubbles, and I even had a guest on the show who was one of the stars of the movie, The Secret, and all he could talk about was how many houses and Rolls Royces and all that kind of stuff that he had, and and it didn't work. So that secret to me didn't work, and so I'm glad to find and it's not about a secret. It's just about something that we don't put into action, right?
Right, exactly. There are no secrets. It even goes back to I quote the Bhagavad Gita, over 5,000 years old this was written. It said, we call these things secrets not because anyone's trying to hide them, but because so few people are prepared to hear them. And what I take that to mean is just what you said, so few people put them into action.
Well, there's a risk to doing so.
Yes, there's a risk, and so many of us have these fears, including fear of failure. And once we overcome that fear, we're 90% of the way there. There's nothing to fear in failure. Every successful person I know, including me, has failed many times along the way.
And
it's just like a child learning to walk is a
right.
great analogy, because look how many times a child falls flat on his face, you know?
Right.
They just get up.
Get up. Right. And yeah. And it's amazing how many times we all fall on our faces in life. And and so many people are defeated by that. And,
yeah.
And this is how do you want to hold it? And you come from that too, because your book is very honest. You you talk about your early failures.
Yeah. My first 35 years I was a poverty case. I mean, I came from a middle-class family, and they had just enough, you know, just enough. There was never any extra. They budgeted very carefully. And then I went out on my own, and I was a total poverty case until into my 30s. And it was kind of cool to be a poverty case in my 20s. I was a struggling artist and spiritual seeker, and that was okay for me in my 20s, but the day I turned 30, I remember so vividly, I woke up in a state of shock and just thought, I'm not happy with my life anymore. It's no fun scrounging, a word we used all the time, scrounging to get rent together for this little one-room slum apartment I had. When I turned 30, I had no steady job. I had no money at all, no family support financially.
And you also didn't believe in yourself that much.
Right, right. I had all these doubts, and I really felt deeply I was a fool with money. I just couldn't handle it. Some people understood it, and I just didn't. I knew nothing about business or anything. I was born knowing it was important to do what I loved. That's a very important piece of the puzzle that I was born with. I remember my dad lobbying that I should go into business like my older brother and study business administration in college. That's the key to success. And I remember thinking, no, I have no interest in that. It's important to do what I loved. And I loved acting and music. So I became an actor and a musician in my 20s. But everything kept falling apart. I was in this company and it fell apart. I got into another theater company that fell apart. I had a rock band that fell apart.
Starving artist.
Starving artist. Then I wandered into a Zen center and I got kicked out for breaking the rules. So I was a struggling.
So how can a guy like that become so successful? That's what, because we all want to know, how can we actually get somewhere more than where we're at? What does it take? And what, you know, did you pull yourself up by the bootstraps and say, I will, this has to be?
No, I'm very lazy. I've always been late. I've never been a morning person. I got up early for you here, Peter. I usually sleep in. And no, it actually was a very simple process that I went through. It was the day I turned 30. I pulled together some of the things I'd learned in my 20s but never put into action in my life. The day I turned 30, I did some simple things, very simple, and they changed my life. It took me 5 years, but I really created exactly what I dreamed of the day I turned 30. And it was simple. All I did the day I turned 30, I remembered I'd had a Back to the Land experiment when I was about 22 in the early 70s. That was a total disaster. 4 or 5 months is all I lasted. It didn't work out at all. But I remembered one night during that, we were sitting around a fire, and this one couple said, let's play this game we play at church camp. Let's imagine 5 years have passed and everything has gone as well as you could imagine. What would your life look like? And we went around the fire. I don't remember a word that I said, so it had no effect on my life whatsoever. But the day I turned 30, I remembered playing that game. And this time, when I was 30, I took a sheet of paper. And this is the little exercise that changed my life. I took a sheet of paper, and I wrote ideal scene at the top. I imagined 5 years had passed, so I was 35. Then what would my life look like ideally? And it amazed me what spilled out. I wrote, I have a successful publishing company that cruises along effortlessly, publishing my books and my friends' books and my music. And I have a beautiful white house on the hill in Marin County. And I have a family. And then most of all, and even though I was assaulted by doubts and fears by this time, I wrote, and I have a life of ease. I don't work too hard. I have plenty of time for my creativity and my spiritual life and myself. And so really I did two essential things. One was to dare to dream. And then as I did it, I vividly remember just being overwhelmed with doubts and fears, saying, impossible, Mark, impossible. They said, it's way too much, Mark. You want to do business and books and music and have time for creativity and a spiritual life and have a life of ease? Impossible. Never been done. You know, there was that going on. But the two essential things were, I dared to dream, and then I had learned how to deal with the doubts and fears. I'd wandered into a workshop when I was 28, led by a man named Ken Keyes Jr. in Berkeley, who'd written a book called Handbook to Higher Consciousness. And one thing we did in the afternoon in this workshop was called the Core Belief Process. And I never forgot it. It changed my life. It's just answering 8 questions. Whenever you have a problem, he asks you to answer 8 questions that are in The Greatest Secret of All. I can whip through them real fast. It helps you identify.
It is good, and I really liked reading it.
Yeah. It really helps you identify what those underlying beliefs are, and then it gives you an affirmation at the end that you come up with that just directly counteracts that belief. And you literally start programming your mind differently from your old programming. So I did it when I was in my early 30s, and I realized my belief was I was a fool with money, I was out of control. So I came up with an affirmation: I am sensible and in control of my finances. I am creating total financial success in an easy and relaxed manner in a healthy and positive way. And I said that a few thousand times when whenever anxiety would come up around money, and it finally took hold some deep place subconsciously and finally started manifesting in my life.
Now, that's part of it, is that we give ourselves permission to be and to be different and to live our dreams. But it is also having a dream, too, that's important.
Yeah, that's essential. And a dream at first is such a delicate thing. It's ephemeral, and it's so easily squashed by doubts and fears and so easily forgotten with all these details of daily life. And we have to keep coming back to the dream. I remember hearing, just about 10 years ago maybe or so, I heard that a plane, when it flies somewhere, is off course over 95% of the time, but the pilot just keeps correcting and correcting, and it reaches its destination. When I heard that, my first thought was, that's the story of my life. When I dared dream my ideal scene the day I turned 30, I created a clear destination. I wanted financial success, doing what I love to do, which is writing books and doing music. And I wanted a big house on a hill, and I wanted a life of ease. That was my goal. That was my destination.
But then you needed a process.
Right. I needed to get back on I needed to keep that dream in mind, and I needed to get back on track every time I got off track with all my doubts and fears and these inner voices saying, it can't be done, Mark. You can't have success with ease. You got to work hard to succeed.
So this is that pilot needing to manage the plane staying on course.
Right.
So you use these core beliefs, this process of core beliefs, to understand how you're doing on course or not.
Right. Right. And I really feel, I used to think maybe you have to be sort of on track 50% of the time. You know, but when I heard that plane analogy, I thought, no, I was probably off track more than 50%, maybe close to 90% of the time. I was overwhelmed with doubts or fears, or I was frustrated, or it wasn't happening, or there felt like so many details to do, or I was behind. All these things that happen when you dare to dream and you go for it. And I think most of the time, and most of my voices took me off course, but I just kept correcting, kept remembering my affirmations, I am sensible and in control of my finances, and kept affirming I was creating a successful company one step at a time. And then as soon as I do those affirmations, the next obvious step would become clear to me, and it was simple and obvious to take. Oh, you got to do this, you know, you've got to get your financial part of your business together. You got to find some kind of promotion. You know, you've got to.
But that's when you're in it. You know, I've been quite successful over the years in my life, and what I found was that I was most successful when I had a vision and a passion, and I was in a sense unrelenting about it. You know, because it's all the details that you do have to take care of. But you're not going to take care of them if you're not passionate about it.
Right.
And your vision isn't clear, then you don't know what you're supposed to do. But
right.
But it comes to you. You know, you don't have to have it all at, like, for instance, with you. You weren't good at bookkeeping and numbers and all that. But, you know, you didn't really have to be, because in the end, you knew how to assemble others that could do all that for you too.
Yeah. Yeah, I really have no interest in the financial side or the marketing side at all. My interest and passion has always been creating new product, new books, new audios, new now downloadable audios and this and that. That's what I love to do. And just slowly, it took me 5 years or so, but I brought in the right people to handle the financial and marketing side.
But also you have that vision of yourself and what you love to do. And
yep.
not everybody knows what they want. And I had a company that, a manufacturing company that I created from scratch that was very successful. And I got tired of it at some point. And I said, I need to move on, but I don't know what to move on to. And it's not going to work because I don't have a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And then all of a sudden, it was about maybe even a year later, and everything was still going fine, but I knew that I you know, there was going to be a change. And all of a sudden, I was in this new world of a new vision and a new passion, and that took over, and everything made sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what, it feels to me like that's what it takes, is for things to make sense, that this is what this is what's right for you. And it mm-hmm. and it holds your vision.
Yeah, yeah. My wife gave me this silver picture frame. I'm looking at it right now. Stamped in the sides are four big words: dream, imagine, believe, and create. And I remember when I looked at that, my first thought was, that's the entire process that I discovered put into four words. You first dream. Dare to dream an expansive dream. Find out what you're really passionate about. Then you imagine and ask yourself, how can I possibly get there? And when you ask that question, you start getting answers. Well, you could do this, you can do that. For me, it was, well, you got to learn something about business. Go read a used business 101 textbook was the first step the only step I could think of toward starting my own company, because I'd never taken a course in it. I'd never had any interest in it. But I read literally a used business 101 textbook, started talking to people who knew more than I did. Dream, imagine, believe. Then you have to believe in yourself, or you have to overcome all the limiting beliefs, all the negative beliefs saying you can't do this. Who are you to do this? And that's where this core belief process helped me so much. And then create. Then you're creating. And the next, just the steps unfold in front of you. When you keep focusing on a goal, the next step to take always becomes obvious. And it's a simple, small step. It's, you don't need to make a huge leap. It's just a series of small steps.
Right. I think once we're in that vision and passion, it comes to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the understandings of what's next, and there's a learning curve too, but there's help along the way, and
yeah.
It's amazing how that works.
It is.
Also, I do a lot of counseling for people, and people come to me and they say, okay, Peter, tell me what I should be doing. And,
right.
You know, and I look at them and I go, there's no way I'm going to tell you what you should be doing. What do
mm-hmm.
you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, well, you know, how? I don't know. That's why I came to you, so you can tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, no way. The only answer is in your heart.
Right.
So then they say, what do I do next? I say, look around. What turns you on? Open books. Watch films. But have the intention that you're going to be drawn into something that excites you about what you want for yourself.
Yeah. Exactly. Oprah even said, if you don't know what your purpose and passion is, she said, the best thing you can do is take whatever time you need to find out. And that's great advice.
Right.
Because I get that too. I'm always surprised. People, even middle-aged people will say to me, I don't know what my passion is. I don't know what I want to do. And sometimes I say, well, what did you want to do as a kid? Every kid knows.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I say, who do you find yourself envious of when you hear about success of certain people? I've noticed I'm not envious of Steve Jobs and real successful business people, for instance. I applaud them. But when I hear of a real successful musician or writer, mm-hmm. I notice a twinge of you call it envy. I guess it is envy. I notice a twinge of, they've really raised the bar. Look how successful they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the woman who wrote Harry Potter, look how successful she became as a writer. So then I realized that's my real passion, writing.
Uh-huh.
you know.
And you have this great book, Your Greatest Secret of All, and you've written a number of other books as well.
Yeah, and I love to write.
Well, now, also, just following up on what we were talking about people not knowing what they want or what they should be doing, and your company, your publishing house, published a book last year on the human design system, and I'm also a human design analyst, so I always plug that, but it helps you know yourself. And
yes.
And ways to know ourselves are very valuable, and we can strategize from that too.
Yeah.
So self-inquiry is also very helpful in finding your vision.
Yeah. Every one of us, I've really come to believe, is a unique creative genius in our own unique way. Often we don't even see it because it just comes naturally to us. We often don't see our own strengths very clearly.
It's hard to see ourselves. And that's why this book is so helpful, because it's inspiring. And it pushes you to climb into possibility.
Mm-hmm. The simple little exercise of daring to dream your ideal. Imagine 5 years have passed, everything has gone as well as you could imagine. What would your life look like? That tricks you into finding what your passion is. At least it sure did for me. I had no idea. I had no interest in business. I even had all these conflicting beliefs about money. On the one hand, I needed it. I knew you had to make some money in this system in order to survive. On the other hand, I thought, well, it might destroy my creativity and my spiritual path. And I had these real limiting beliefs that I had to work through and let go of and
Got over it.
Yeah, me too.
It's, you know, but what you did, one of the things you did, and it's in your book, and in writing it out, putting it on paper, what you want and how it's supposed to look. And I know that works. About 35 years ago, I wrote a list of what I wanted, and I put it away, and many years later, I went back to it, and oh my gosh, it all came true.
I've heard that story so many times. Yep.
So this is it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's some real power in just writing it down.
Right, and so this book is so helpful in the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And so many different steps, actually.
Yeah, and I really appreciate the people that I've talked to that say, I read your book and I immediately started writing things down, because so many people do just read it and then don't write a thing down and go on to the next book. And the important work is what the reader does, not what I have to say.
Well, this book excites you from the inside out, and that's what really how you go about it. It's not, the greatest secret of all is not about manifesting something out there so much as knowing that you're not going to get anything out there unless you come from in there.
Yeah, yeah. Eckhart Tolle said it beautifully. I quote him in The Power of Now. He said, get the inside right and the outside will take care of itself. And it's true. I've often felt 99% of the work I did was internal, and 1% is external. And that's the way it seems to me. Once I really deal with those doubts and fears, once I get very clear about what I want on paper, I'd stared at my ideal scene the day I was 30, and then I just realized there was a list of goals, and I made my list of goals, just like you did.
Mm-hmm.
I made a list of goals, and then I rewrote them as affirmations, as if they're coming into being now. I'm now creating a successful company in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way. I started carrying that around in my pocket, something I do to this day. And then over the next few weeks or months for some, but plans started emerging for every goal. And I again took a sheet of paper for each goal and just wrote as much of a plan as I could. Often I just see the beginning of it, but I wrote a one-page plan. And that is my simple, entire little process of manifestation that I did the day I turned 30. Just writing ideal scene, listing goals, rewriting goals as affirmations, and then for every major goal, realizing I could write a plan, or at least the beginning of a plan, on one page.
I think that's so important, what you just said, is the beginning of a plan. Because you couldn't have written the whole plan because there was too much you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably the one of the biggest secrets of all is to get it started.
Right.
But with a big vision, but not trying to control the whole process because there's so much serendipity in life.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't control the whole thing. If you wait until you see the, and I've met people like this that are trying to make this complete plan, especially business people, they want to make a complete business plan, and they end up never starting the business because they're always reworking the plan. So just start. Whatever you can do, begin it. You know, as Goethe said, boldness has genius, magic, and power in it. You know, just begin it. And that will unleash your unique genius and and magic and power, even.
The learning curve is not a straight line.
Right, right. My path up the mountain has been wandering around with a whole lot of detours and sideways moves and backwards moves.
How do you feel? Where are you on that mountain?
Well, I'm wandering around on my own unique path, as we all are, and I do often have a real realization that we're all at the top in our essence. It's true. We are spiritual beings, having a physical experience, and every one of us is completely enlightened in our essence. And we grasp it at certain moments. We've all had those peak experiences Maslow talked about. And we're all there. It's just realizing really what we are. That's the total truth of enlightenment and even great success, really. What is success to you? I always ask people to, you know, just like you said, you can't tell people what their passion is. We can't define success for anyone else. We all need to define it for ourselves. And with so many people, when you think it through, success really is, at least for me, it's this fulfillment and deep inner peace and enjoyment of this moment now. That's real success. And that doesn't depend on any sort of outer accomplishment or manifestation. That's just something that we can easily attain in this moment.
Right, a sense of wholeness creates a wholeness in life in so many ways.
Yeah.
It reflects it in life.
Yeah.
And that's so clear in your book. So we only have about a minute and a half left. So I want to come back to The Greatest Secret of All is the name of your book, The Simple Steps to Abundance, Fulfillment, and a Life Well Lived. And your name is Mark Allen, MarkAllen. both those names can be misspelled very easily.
Yeah.
My middle name is M-A-R-C, so I always like to see that.
Oh. Yeah.
And you have a website?
Yes. MarkAllen.com.
Okay.
Mark with a C, Allen. And NewWorldLibrary.com is my publishing company.
And
also, my record company is WatercourseMedia.com. Kind of a mouthful, but WatercourseMedia.com. You can sample my music there.
That's wonderful. Mark Allen, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Yep. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. And I can be reached at peter@heartriver, river.org. And thank you so much for listening.